Well, of course, perhaps in some ways the most important kind of letter is the last. It's what we may call the personal letter. I heard a program on the radio not so long ago, well, quite a short time ago. It was a program about, well, about letters in a way, about the post. I think they called it the Royal Post, which we had before we had the Royal Mail. And the speaker commented on the fact that in the 17th and 18th centuries, letter writing, even by quite ordinary people, was much more common than we have hitherto supposed, and that there was a great deal of epistolary activity, as it may be called. And this made me remember that, well, yes, there's a famous collection of letters written in the 15th century called the Paston Letters, written by different members of the same family, the Pastons. And there's a great bundle of these letters which throw a great deal of light on the life of the times. And of course we've got very personal letters. For instance, there were letters by Henry VIII. Personal letters, very personal. In fact, love letters to Anne Boleyn. Apparently they are in the Vatican Library. How they got there, I don't know. But anyway, there they are, and some of them have been printed. And you can read exactly what the lovesick Henry said to Anne Boleyn some 2 or 3 years before he cut off her head. But if we move on to the 18th century, we might say that, well, in some ways that was the century of letter writing. Educated people were very conscious of the need to write a good letter. They gave thought, they gave consideration to what they were writing. They didn't just dash off things. And there were some famous collections of letters. I remember there was, for instance, Lord Chesterfield's letters to his son. He had an illegitimate son called Stanhope, and he was very keen on bringing on this young man in the world and was very concerned that he should know how to behave and all that sort of thing. So there's this volume of letters, you know, published after his death and the death of his son, published, in fact, at least sold to publishers by the son's widow, which was very well known in the 18th century and widely read. Dr. Johnson, again to mention him, didn't think very highly of it. In fact, he commented to someone that he thought the letters taught the manners of a dancing master and the morals of a whore. That was his verdict on Chesterfield's letters. I think Dr. Johnson was just a little bit unjust. Dr. Johnson himself, of course, did write personal letters, though he's not particularly well known for his personal letters, though there's 3 volumes of them. But he is well known for his famous letter to that same Lord Chesterfield, because when Johnson started working on his great dictionary, he tried to get an interview with Lord Chesterfield, but wasn't successful. But when the dictionary had been completed, Lord Chesterfield apparently let it be known that he wouldn't mind if Johnson dedicated it to him. But this really upset Johnson, and he wrote a letter known as Dr. Johnson's Letter to Lord Chesterfield. I wish I knew it by heart, in which case I'd repeat it. But I would say it's one of the greatest put-downers in literary history, and well worth reading if you want to know how to do that sort of thing in real style.